This morning, the scripture, Luke chapter 21, I'll begin reading in just a moment here. Luke chapter 21, again, just prepare your heart. And Father, I pray this is your word. Help us to receive it as such. Help us to walk it out by your grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Peace in perilous times. Peace in perilous times. I think I can make this statement. Everyone has been affected to some degree by the corona pandemic. Everyone. I'm talking about, in fact, just who would have even thought maybe just 2 or 3 weeks ago that we would have seen such drastic change all over the world. We are living in what 2 Timothy 3:1 calls perilous times. Perilous means difficult. The Amplified translation says times of great trouble and stress. And the question I would like to ask and use the scripture to answer this morning is, how do we have peace in perilous times? How do we have peace in perilous times? Luke chapter 21, Jesus is speaking, and he's given signs or indications of not only the destruction of the temple that would come just about 30 or 40 years later from when he spoke these words, but even on up to the last days toward the time of his return, signs would increase in intensity and frequency like the labor pains of a pregnant woman. And the Bible says in Luke chapter 21 and verse 10, Jesus said to them, nation, or that means ethnic group, nation will rise against nation, kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places, and famines and pestilences. That's what we're experiencing across the globe right now, pestilences. Jesus said these days would come. He said there will be fearful signs and great fearful sights and great signs from heaven. And then later on in that same section where he's speaking, he says in verse 26 that men's hearts would fail them from fear and the expectation of those things which are coming on all the earth. Oh my goodness, there seems to be so much fear. I'll be honest with you. I've had a little bit of the, you know, I've felt it in my own heart, in my own emotions at time, and we're all human. And so he says that some people, their hearts are going to just fail them for fear and the expectation, the anticipation of bad things that are going to be coming on. And this phrase really stood out to me this week. For the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Just think. Think of all the powers, if I could say them, say it that way, that have been shaken by this pandemic. I mean, economic, medical, across the board. I don't know of one that hasn't been shaken. And thank God that he's not shaken. But the powers we've seen shaken. And then he says this in verse 36, again, Luke 21. Verse 36, Jesus says, this is how we're to respond, how we're to live. Watch, therefore, be alert, be vigilant. Watch, therefore, and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Three action steps I believe we can take to overcome anxiety and fear and how to have peace in perilous times. And the first one I want to center on mainly, because if we miss this one, I don't think we can take the next two. So I just want to center in for at least a portion of the time here on this first step. It's two things, but they really do go together. They go together scripturally, and that is to pray and praise. To pray and to praise. Jesus said, all of these things are coming. They'll increase. It's not like everything is bad, but he said, watch, be alert. I like to say it like this, tune in to God's Holy Spirit, because we want to pray in the Spirit so that we know we can pray according to God's will so that his will is accomplished and his reign is extended. So pray, watch and pray, be alert, tune in to God's Holy Spirit. If you know him, his Spirit is within you. Tune in to him, listen for his still small voice, and then pray. And I referenced this scripture earlier from 2 Chronicles chapter 7. I want to just read it to you because it really is relevant for our time today. It was spoken to Solomon in the time of Israel, but the Bible says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 7 in verse number 13. 2 Chronicles chapter number 7 verse 13 says, when I shut up heaven and there is no rain, or command locusts to devour the land, or send, and notice this word, pestilences or pestilence among my people. That word, I looked up that Hebrew word pestilence. Of course, it means plague and sickness, but here's what it actually says in the Strong's Concordance. It says a pandemic, interesting that it would use that word, a pandemic of sickness and death. So he says when there is a pandemic of sickness and death, verse 14 says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, I will forgive their sin, and I will heal their land. And throughout Scripture, if you read through the accounts of the Bible, whenever God's people just faced very trying times and overwhelming odds, they prayed, but they didn't just pray. I love how they started. They began their prayers by praising the Lord and confessing His greatness and lifting Him up and exalting Him. When they prayed and they said, Lord, look at their threats. They're threatening to arrest us and they're threatening to beat us and we can't speak in Your name, but You are God and His armies are coming against us. You're the Lord. You're the creator of heaven and earth. You have no equal. There's no one like You. And they just gave God the praise and gave Him honor and magnified Him. It's so easy to magnify everything else that's going on and all of the bad, I think, probably in our humanity. It takes faith to magnify the Lord over the situation, magnify the Lord over the trouble and over the circumstance. And this isn't just for us today in a coronavirus time. It's for our personal lives. When we're just whatever it may be that's troubling us and we need the peace of God because we're going through those difficult or perilous times, even in our own lives, that we can come before God and we pray. Thank God we can pray, but we pray and we confess our faith in Him and we lift Him up and exalt Him. And that's so important because, in fact, I want to read this scripture to you from Philippians chapter 4. This is, again, such an appropriate scripture for this time. Philippians chapter 4 and verse number 6. We read the Word of God says, be anxious for nothing. Don't allow it to just, don't be anxious. Now, we're going to have the emotions at times. So he tells us what to do. Don't give in to that anxiety and fear. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, and this is so important, with thanksgiving. We're to pray, but we're to pray with thanksgiving. I personally know what it is to pray and have no peace because I pray, and all I did is basically make it a worry expression. A complaining list. And there's nothing wrong. We can pour our heart out to God. We're to do that. But without bringing some praise and thanksgiving into the prayers, all we do is just still drown in the negativity and we rob ourselves of the peace that God wants to give us. So he says, let your requests be made known, but with thanksgiving. We always have something. If we know God, we have something that we can thank Him for. And so to express that faith, to give Him thanks, he says, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. You can let your requests be made known to God, but if you do it with thanksgiving, God's assurance is that the very peace of God, which goes beyond all human understanding, will come and will guard like a sentinel. It's pictured as like a soldier guarding something. He will guard your heart and guard your mind. Oh my goodness, I know we need the Lord's peace today to guard our heart and guard our mind. When praise and praise, they go together, or prayer and praise. Prayer and praise keep us in close fellowship with God. And that is the key. Please get this. Nearness to God is the key to overcoming anxiety and fear. The psalmist David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for You are with me. Some of you may have experienced the times where maybe you were a kid, or maybe you were older, and there was something that scared you, and maybe your parent being nearby, you wanted to get close to your parent, or some other adult, or someone you trusted, because that just made you feel more comfortable, and that's the way we can be with God. It doesn't change everything in the world. Of course, we want to pray for God's will to be done. But if we can stay close to God, yes, the emotion may come up. Yes, I feel the anxiety. I feel the stress. I feel the pressure. I'm not sure what we're going to do. But we can still have the peace of God, knowing that ultimately we have a source that's not limited to this human realm and this earthly world. So it expresses our faith, keeps us close to God. Brothers and sisters, if we know Jesus as Lord, He is our Prince of Peace, and He will see us through, and we can focus on Him. The Bible says this in that, continuing on in that same passage, verse 8. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report." A good report. Let me pause there a second. I believe we ought to be informed. I'll just speak for myself. I cannot fill my heart and my mind with 24-hour news on how bad everything is and walk in the peace of God. Again, I'm informed. I catch the headlines. I see. I pray. But the scripture tells us here, notice what he says, things that are of good report, if there is any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. Think on these things. Dwell on these things. We can focus on Jesus, and we've got to make our minds dwell on the good things. Dwell on the blessings of God. Dwell on the good things of God and the things that are right here of good report, things that are praiseworthy, and then the peace will come. But we've got to meet God's prescription in order to have the results. So we want the peace. We've got to do what he says. And then he wraps up that same scripture here in verse 9. And he says, "The things which you have learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do." We've got to be doers of God's word. Many of us know what to do. Sometimes it's not that we don't know. Of course, if we don't, we need to learn. We can do that. But once we know, sometimes it's not just the knowing, it's the doing. He says, "These things, do them," notice, "and the God of peace will be with you." The God of peace. Let's focus on good things. Yes, hear it. We don't deny. We don't stick our head in the sand. But let's dwell on the good things. Let's not just completely give ourselves over to all the negativity, or even as some would project, the worst case scenarios. Why do we have to? I don't have to dwell on that. I want to dwell on what's a good case scenario. How could God move, and how could he have his way in this situation? So we do God's word. I just heard a doctor this week too on the national news. Someone was interviewing him about the coronavirus and so forth, and he was trying to encourage people to. And I don't even know if he was a Christian or not. I don't remember his name right this moment, but he was trying to get people to be to have courage, and especially parents speaking to their children, so not just to fill them with fear. And he said the same pathways in our work in our brain, either for fear or for courage. The same pathways in our brain are those pathways that travel. We can use them for fear, or we can use them for faith. We can use them for courage. I know we've been through some times, even in my own family, and being with my wife in a situation, if you know, having a procedure done. And just humanly, we have those emotions. I want to feel, please don't feel condemned because you have the emotion. You feel anxious. You're fearful or you're worried. I'm just simply saying, please don't let it dominate you. Let's get our focus onto the Lord. Let's pray to him. Let's give him thanks. Let's praise him. Let's magnify him until his peace comes. Jesus said, "My peace I give to you." Not like the world gives. "My peace I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." And so I told my wife, I said, just say this. I gave that scripture to her. I said, just say, "Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your peace." Focus on the Lord. "Jesus, I receive your peace. Jesus, I receive your grace and your peace." So this is why it's so important. This first action we can take. Again, if we do this, then we can move forward. And then final two today is we just take this time to focus on peace in perilous times. Here's the first step we take: pray and praise. And then the second step is to proceed. Pray and praise, and then proceed. Right here in the same Gospel of Luke, I want to read a few verses from Jesus in Luke chapter 19. Luke chapter 19, because if we have God's peace in our heart, then we proceed in faith. We move forward. So we go on with the Lord. God, again, we're not denying anything, but we can't be scared to live. God wants us to still live. And so to move forward, and the Bible says that Jesus said the kingdom of God is going to be like this. Verse 12 of Luke 19, a certain nobleman went into a far country to receive for himself a kingdom and to return. And he called 10 of his servants, and he delivered to them 10 minas that were units of money. And he said to them, notice it, do business until I come. Engage in business. Jesus did not tell us, when you see all of these things, go hide out in fear, get in a cave, lock yourself in somewhere, and just hang on till I come rescue you. No, he said, do my business. Engage in kingdom business. I've given you something to work with. Be wise, but move forward in faith. So he says, engage in business. Do business until I come. Verse 15, when he returned, having received the kingdom, and we read that in the book of Revelation, he then commanded his servants to whom he had given the money to be called to see that he might know how much every man gained by trading. And then came the first, saying, Master, your mina, your amount of money, it's earned 10 times what you gave me. And he said to him, well done, good servant, because you were faithful in very little, have authority over 10 cities. How we live right now will have an effect on what will take place in eternity and our reward of those who know him and of those who do not, of degrees of punishment. So he says, engage in business. He doesn't say just hide out. Do his kingdom business. God wants us to be fruitful. So we stay close to him, to call on him. He wants us to worship and serve him where we are. He wants us to be a blessing to others. Let God use you. Yes, I feel the emotion, but let's not be scared. We don't give in to that fear. We overcome evil with good. We overcome. We have the power of God. So let's trust God. If you have a job or you have some responsibility, let's go about our responsibilities wisely, but let's trust God. Be faithful. We are representatives of Jesus. Let's shine his light where we go, and let's do all that we do to the glory of God. That's how we proceed. So he says, pray, praise, proceed, and then finally, in the same context, proclaim. The Bible says this in Luke 21, back in the chapter where we started, Luke chapter 21. He's talking about all of these things that will characterize the days all the way up to his return. And Luke chapter 21 and verse 13, Jesus says this, it will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. It will turn out for you as an occasion for testimony. Just think about this a minute. With all that's going on, everything we hear, every time you turn on, we don't even have to guess. If you turn on a news program, you know what the top story is going to be. That's just, at this time, that's just the way it is. I really believe, not to put on a show, but if we genuinely have the peace of God in our heart, and we're being wise, we're caring for people, and we're going about our business, we have an opportunity to let our light shine. And I believe we can have an opportunity to point people to Jesus, to proclaim. Let's proclaim God's love. Let's proclaim God's truth. Yeah, we can relate to people, say, I know it's bad right now. Oh my goodness, so many are hurting. Some are suffering. Their businesses have shut down. They're laid off and so many things are going on. I was praying for them. And then point them, thank God. That this world is not all there is, and this world is not my source. If we can say that, to tell them and point people to Jesus, share a testimony. I've been worried and anxious, and I just had to seek God and get alone with him till I gave him he gave me his peace. I'm just thankful for his faithfulness to me, and I know he has that for everyone. And just share that word of testimony, to speak God's love and God's truth. And I believe it's not just for the people out in the street or wherever. I believe we need to proclaim God's love, and we need to proclaim the word of God to ourselves. It's important every day that what we say matters, and we're sowing seeds. We can place seeds not only in our own heart, but like I said, children or different ones who would hear us. Let's proclaim the truth of God. Let's claim his promises, claim the scripture, Let's speak to our own heart. I'm telling you, sometimes I've had to do this where I just begin to focus on the Lord, maybe say a scripture, pray it, or just begin to thank God and give God praise. I can feel my faith rising. I can feel fear and worry, anxiety begin to leave and the peace of God to come. So to speak it to ourselves and to speak it to others, when we have opportunity, let's testify of God's goodness and God's grace. We have the privilege of sharing good news. And Jesus has told us, as you go about your daily lives, you go about your daily responsibilities, disciple people. The first step, of course, is to bring people to the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior. I was thinking about this the other day. Could you imagine the joy that was spread all over the world if a cure was developed for COVID-19. I'm talking about a cure with a 100% success rate. Could you imagine how that was spread and the joy that was spread all over the world? And Lord knows I'm not making light of that, but if I could say it this way, there is another virus called sin. Thankfully, not everyone has been infected with COVID, but everyone has been infected with sin. It has affected us all, and it separates us from the holy God who created us in his image, who is sinless. Sin is the breaking of God's commandments. And if there is no cure, we have no hope. We will never know God's forgiveness. We would never know God is our Father and have him in life, and we would be separated from him forever. But thank God there is a cure. And the cure has a 100% success rate. His name is Jesus. Jesus bore our sin for us. He took the virus. He took the infection. He took our punishment when he suffered and died on the cross. But thankfully, He didn't just remain dead. 3 days later, he conquered sin and he conquered death, and he has ascended back to his rightful place at his throne beside his Father on high, and he will save anyone and everyone who simply comes to that place of recognizing, yes, I've sinned, I'm separated from God, but I want to be right. I want to know my Father in heaven. I want to be reconciled to him. And when God's Spirit draws us to Jesus and we simply believe God's word and receive Jesus as Lord, we are healed. We are healed from the infection and the virus of sin. We are given new life, and we are promised a future with him forever, where the curse of sin will be removed. There will be no more sickness, sorrow, suffering, pain, or death. God says, I make all things new, but it's only for those who will receive this King as Lord into their hearts and lives. I want to invite the worship team to come back, and I want to pray here for you in just a moment. We're going to sing a closing hymn, but peace in perilous times. And I want to just ask you today, between you and God, God is offering all of us his peace. Do you need his peace today? I'm not even asking right now if you're a Christian. If you're not a Christian, that's the first step. Are you willing to come to that place to recognize your need and say, God, I know I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. I believe Jesus died for me and he rose again. And I want Jesus to be my Lord and my Savior, my God. Help me to live for you. And I want to speak to Christians as well. We know God's forgiveness. His Spirit indwells us. Think about that. God's Holy Spirit indwells us. But maybe you still need his peace. Like I said, we're all human. And I want to pray. We're going to sing the words of this chorus, and then we're going to pray for everyone watching and pray for you that God is just going to reveal himself to you. And even as we sing, let him speak to your heart. Maybe you just come to that place I was sharing with Kim that I've had to do, say, Jesus, I receive your peace.